This is RSVP Update, episode 496, recorded Friday, December 19th, 2014. Hans is in a statue. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for RSVP Update. Shane12088 here with the normal co-host of 2014.
Yes, me, Trekkie. Woot!
Welcome. So, now, we got a bit of a update to discuss this week and some other little things, but nonetheless, we do have a very interesting update pertaining to the Christmas part of things. So, should we start with Christmas, or would you rather start with the task set?
Yeah, let's start with Christmas.
Alrighty. So, this week sees the final release, or the release of the final part of the Christmas update, the snowboarding part that I think most people were waiting for in terms of this. And, you know, ultimately, when it comes down to it, it's a very interesting mechanic for RS.
How fast can you click?
Exactly. You gave it a go, I assume?
Yeah, I got up to Adamantium before I ran out of time and had to go.
Ah, okay.
Anyway, the Queen of Snows shows up at the Lumbridge Crater. It's on the other side of the Christmas Cracker. And when you talk to her, she'll ask you that four elements have gone rogue and you need to find them. So it's a little bit of a hunting quest. Can think of it kind of like a penguin, but easier. And once you find all four, you can go snowboarding.
And that's pretty much all there is to this. As you said, it's a matter of how fast can you click. And basically what you do is you take this little gnome copter up to the top of the ski jump, and then you snowboard down it. And as you're going down it, you do have to click the certain presents that appear on the path in front of you, and then you do these, or you click those, and you build power up, and then with this power, you can do various little tricks, a spin, grab your board, backflip, that sort of thing. And ultimately, what happens with this is you get a certain amount of points for each trick that you manage to pull off. Doing fewer tricks results in less points, and more tricks results in more points. And that's pretty much all there
is
to it.
Only if you succeed.
Yes, that is very true. That's an important distinction there. I mean, it's a kind of a nice mechanic, I guess, but does it really feel wintry or Christmassy to you if it's just a matter of clicking?
I think the issue with this thing is that you found all the elementals, and you get to snowboard. It's like, all right, after this week, you can't wear it outside because you automatically get rid of it. So you're only doing this for about a week, and then the item's dead.
Yeah, like presumably you will be able to wear it as a cosmetic cosmetic outfit in the back. But you know, aside from that, it's not really going to have much use, as you said. Maybe you could just go ahead and, you know, do like something like the skiing. So
well, do you remember many, many moons ago that there was a quest where you could actually go and go sledding?
Yep. And you know, that's something that I've been meaning to go back and do. And you know, I think that that's a mechanic that's often overlooked. And, you know, yeah, snowboarding, that's winter. Sledding, I think, is more Christmassy than snowboarding would be. But that's just based on my past personal experience.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I mean, it's a nice way to round out the event, and it's a nice thing to do. But at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter to me as to whether or not this is part of the Christmas event, because it just doesn't feel Christmassy. To me, the snakes and the presents and the snowballs really felt more Christmassy. And on that note, I do kind of wish that the whole snowball thing was continuing throughout the rest of the month, which it's not, unfortunately. Speaking of that, just before we move on to the task set, I got nothing good out of that. You?
I haven't touched a task set yet, so let me look.
I mean the snowballs. Did you get anything from the snowballs?
Oh, 5 rune knight ores, and that's it. Oh, seriously, that's what I got. I got a glowing cracker, and I pulled it, and it was junk.
Wow, I didn't even get to the cracker stage, so you're doing pretty good then. On that.
Only gotten one.
Yeah. Alrighty. Well. Let's see. Anything else about snowboarding? No, that's really all there is, aside from the fact there's also a rail setup, where you can take the snowboard on this rail, and you gotta keep yourself balanced, so it's kind of like the extreme sports edition of it, so you might want to try and do that if you're into that sort of thing. But, you know, it's always interesting to see mechanics like this come into game, so we can't fault JX for that. So, Christmas update, out and done. Enjoy.
Yeah. What? Oh, man.
And just a note, for anybody who is struggling to get the festive cracker emote, even after the cracker's been pulled, you can go there and loot the chest if it's in, you know, the half hour after it was immediately pulled. So that is a possibility to make your way there even after it's been pulled. I just saw a note in chat about that. So head to the cracker and try and loot it if you have not, after you get the notification that it's been pulled. Which JX did say, we will be getting the cracker pull emote, assuming you've delivered some festive papers, but no word on that, so we'll have to see what happens with that in January.
Okay.
All right, let's move on to the Tyranid task set, then, what everybody is probably most excited about this week.
Let's take a look here. So, 4 levels, same as usual, is elite, easy, medium, hard, and elite. So only requirement is to have done the underground passage in order to start.
Yeah, which makes sense, because after that you can, you know, roam the elven lands freely and do lots of little interesting things in there, even if you've not done the quest. I think this is one of the task sets that ultimately requires the highest level of skills that we've ever seen for the elite tasks. Not only, you know, because it's the Elf City, but because there's just so many things around this area that are tailored to endgame that, you know, it is truly capping off what you can do in the Elven Lands. So let's begin. Anything in any of the tasks that, you know, really jumps out at you as, you know, being a wow. Hard to imagine this being here.
Let me take a double look again. Let's see.
One interesting thing to note, there is a task that requires you to sing a crystal weapon using an attuned crystal seed. And when batch 2 of Priftiness came out and, you know, we could get these attuned crystal seeds from the various elves and whatnot by killing them or maybe even thieving them, it took a great amount of time to actually find these attuned crystal seeds. And the thing is, with this task set, after the release, it has been made so that the first elf you kill will give you an attuned crystal seed. That makes things a lot easier. And
okay.
Before you do that, I'll just say that the recommended crystal weapon to sing is the dagger, because you do need that for another task.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty.
Okay, couple little things that the rewards give. Not going to read all of it. So if you get a... go through the notes again. Lost a page. Where'd it go? There we go. Tryon quivers are given out to to anyone who complete each task. So for level 1, the easiest one, you no longer fall in leaf traps. You get a little couple, 5% of tortoise shells dropped by warp tortoise will be noted. Acts as a crystal chime against warp monsters, which is nice. And allows you to teleport to Elven lands 5 times a day, either Lieta or wherever Elendund is, which is the elf that recharges your crystals. Medium task set, no longer fail poison traps, buff against shadow creatures.
Yes. I have 99 agility and I still fail these poison traps, so it's gotta be 80% of the time.
I still do too. Let's see. There's a new mushroom patch, I believe. And let's see. Going into the hard one. Let's see. Wind worn. Harmony moss per more harmony moss per harvest and buff against elves and Perfinus. And automatic use of cleansing crystals when crystal has finished cleansing. Okay. Oh, and the ability to teleport to the elf death altar. And for the elite one, which requires a lot of level 90s.
Practically everything.
And let's see. You get some lambs, corrupted ore when worn. Take a portrait at a photo booth with the head of one of the 8 lords or ladies. Double the crystal blossom harvest from player-grown crystal trees. More damage against dark beasts. And daily logs from Coden.
Yeah, nothing really is jumping out here to me as, you know, being a great thing that everybody should do, because even the quiver only gives a prayer bonus of, you know, +4 at the elite level, which, I mean, if you're a melee person or a magic person, by default, that's great, because the quiver, if you're using one of those combat types, is useless, so I can see the use of that, so we'll give that a break. I mean, cleansing crystals, harmonic dust, you're going to have harmonic dust from doing the tasks, so that doesn't really make sense, and personally, I think if you're doing elite elven tasks, you're beyond the level where you're going to be wanting to use crystal weaponry, because that's level 75 and 80. And when you think about it, we all already are going to have level 90 weapons that people are going to be using, or at least most people will. So, I mean, these rewards just don't seem to be that great. I guess the best thing you can look forward to is the XP, maybe?
Well, here is what a mage guy just said in the chat is, I stick with what someone on the forum said last night, no bait for Grenwalls is the best reward. Which, hey, that's actually good if you're actually going hunting. Which one is that one, level 3?
Let's see. Yeah, it's gotta be.
Hard set. So, hard set.
Yeah, that's level 3.
At all times.
But even with that, there's other ways to train Hunter that are equally faster than Grenwalls, for example. So I don't.
Well, remember, Grenwalls are the spikes. They're using for the spikes in order to make the potions.
Yeah.
So that's about money.
But I got
that's to make some money.
But I got tons of spikes already from the daily divine box traps. Those give spikes too. I have like 300 spikes just sitting. Granted, I don't make extreme ranged potions a lot, but anytime I want more spikes, I just do a divine box trap and there we go.
Oh, and actually this is for medium set, not for the hard set. So Grenwalls no longer need baits is for medium. Just saying
tier
that.
Two.
And and claim 30 swamp tars a day from the general store. Why do you need the swamp tar?
Yeah, I mean, is there something we're missing here with this? Because it just feels like this is a task set with, you know, rewards that don't seem that good.
Right, and the thing is, the teleport stuff like Lieta and the Elven City. Well, it's kind of nice we can get to Lieta a little bit more free than having the crystals every time. But that, the crystal teleport.
Yeah.
Getting to the Elven City is already super easy. I found out the other day that, or a couple weeks ago, that you can use the Clan Vex in order to teleport to the Elf City. And there's a lodestone right in the middle of it. There's the Gnome Glider on the north side, and there's the Grand Tree right smack dab in the middle.
Yeah, so, I mean, you can save from crystals doing the Liledia farming patch and whatnot, so I'll definitely be using that one.
Ooh, forgetting about that farming patch.
Yeah. The other week when I had a bit of an allergy spur on, I totally forgot about that farming patch. I had to, you know, look it up as to where this other mysterious tree patch was, because I totally forgot. So, fruit tree patch, rather. There you have it. I forgot where a farming patch was.
Okay.
Which is something that I probably should not do. Anyways, let's just talk a bit about the caliber of what you need to do to complete an elite task in this task set. Level 99, or a quest point cape, is going to be required to complete this, as you need to access the max guild and unfurl a flag.
Well, considering the fact that, in theory, you would be done with Underground Passage, you would have something along those lines anyway, of quest points.
Yeah. If you're accessing Priftinus, you've probably been around for a long time and have a QP cape. Pickpocketing a Traherne Elf, which requires 95 thieving, can be boost. Let's see. Visit Saren.
Saren!
95 dungeoneering.
You need Yay, to, me!
Yeah, you need to complete. Well, you have one of those cards active. So that is the one I will not be able to complete. Cards.
Actually, according to the wiki, as long as someone in the party uses one, you get it too.
Really?
Yeah.
That seems like a cop-out.
Hey, someone's 95, so...
We should do that later, or some other point. Because you would save me a lot of XP if we did this together, and that I don't need to go for 95 right away.
You wouldn't go for 95 either way.
No. I don't want to go for 95.
Exactly. You don't want to go for that anyway.
Alrighty. You also need to have a level 90 milestone cape, get to wave 15 in a gold or platinum round of Rush of Blood, 95 Slayer, let's see, chop a log from an elder tree, so that's 90 farming, 90 woodcutting, Plague's End, 90 smithing, attuned crystal chakram, oh boy. Use the advanced cliffside scramble shortcut while navigating through the air. Arendar Pass, 85.
Which you would already agility. Have 90 of anyway, because you need that in order to do some of the other stuff.
And create a grand ranging potion in a crystal flask using nothing but raw ingredients. And that is one of the recipes that you can unlock for 100k GP.
Mm-hmm.
So going from that, this doesn't seem as far out of reach as some of the other ones, such as asking people to purchase 95 prayer for the Falador one to activate Turmoil. I believe that's the one. It's either that or Varrock. Correct me if I'm wrong. But 95 Slayer, that's still a stretch, as is everything above 90 and 95 Dungeoneering, I will say.
Okay.
Any other tasks that jump out at you that are nice or just nice to have
well,
note
they're
going to.
They're going to force me to go through Underground Passage again. It's going to be fun. Attempt to pass a leaf trap. Okay. Fairy ring. Oh, yeah, I forgot there's a fairy ring down there. Stand still. Have only returned to help progress for you. Okay. Kill a warp tortoise or... Okay. Junk.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, nothing really crazy, just, I guess, for something that's just going to be time-consuming.
Yeah, so do you think that this effectively signs off the Elven area, is that, okay, this area is done until we start exploring the whole Saren connection a bit more?
Yeah, I think for now they're kind of done. All we need to do now is get the elves to actually dig a tunnel to the elven lands, and so we can mine mithril and runite ore and adamantium ore a lot easier.
You already got all that up there in the
No,
Trahearne district.
but remember, they are up on the city in a nice little mountain thing. There's more underground. They're dwarves. They have the ability to dig, and all day through.
All right, if you say so.
Heck yeah, make the dwarves work.
Well, in that case, moving on to tweaks and fixes. Two new seasonal high scores start on the 28th of December, and that is the most clue scrolls completed and the number of deaths. Safe minigames are excluded.
Interesting. Let's see. I can go for number of deaths. Head out to the wild with the inventory full of wheat. Be like, you all suck.
Yeah, that could work. Another
Did that before.
idea I have is, to just I wonder if yes, safe mini games don't count. Would you call the fight pits or fight caves rather a mini game?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you don't lose anything if you go in there.
Yeah. I mean, the simplest thing that I can think of is to well, let's see, where's the nearest spawn point? Nearest spawn point would be Falador or Taverly. And what you do is you run down to the Blue Dragon Dungeon without a Dragon Fire Shield and just provoke as many of these dragons as you can and get them to burn you to a crisp. I think that would be the simplest way of, committing suicide as it is in RS. So. Also, a whole bunch of things have had their reset timers set to midnight, and some other stuff has been moved onto the weekly Wednesday reset timer as well. So, examples of this include the crystal tree that the players can plant. Other things include Catherby pineapples and seaweed, free raw bacon and pouches. Tears of Guthix and Hanky Points. Those now reset on Wednesday. So yeah, I guess we will need some bacon for the task set, as we do need to summon Maud Elfborn once again.
Bacon.
Let's see. Dagonoth Sentinels in Dominion Tower Rumble mode no longer attack players who are spectating survivors.
Let's see. And you guys see anything you want to add in here, go be our guest. Skochim Champas now work correctly at the lava flow mines. Hans can move again. I never noticed he was stuck.
Yeah, he was stuck, and that threw me for one when I was delivering him his present this week. Oh. He's supposed to move. I see. Players can no longer kill Implings with familiar attacks.
Let's
The
see.
Heffen Agility course has been made so that it can be completed in fixed screen legacy mode. Gotta look out after those people, right? Iron Men can now play Dominion Towers Rumble mode on their own. Ireworth and Kadarn elves can no longer be lured into the Tower of Voices, and the rate at which hand cannons explode has been reduced.
They're actually decent money if you killed all those dwarves. Not dwarves,
Okay.
yeah, dwarves and ogres.
How did they break Heffen?
Heffin?
Yeah, apparently, according to chat, Heffen was broke with this update. Twenty more seconds per lap. Wow. I should give that a go. Well, all I gotta say in that case, I'm happy I got my crystal acorn before that happened.
Let's see. I think that's it. Let's see. Some player-owned house models, nah. Butterflies and Bathinas no longer show above shadow creatures.
Okay.
Oh, and Elf City Cubes can now be added to a player-owned house, Cape Wreck.
Oh, good. That's good to hear.
Uh-huh.
Alrighty, so there's your tweaks and fixes for the week, everyone. This weekend is Dungeoneering Weekend from the 19th through the 22nd.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, God, I so need Red Bull now.
Double tokens from both regular Dungeoneering and Sinkholes. Base Sinkhole XP, Lamp XP increased by 50%, 10% cheaper weapon repairs at the Daemonheim Trader, and no score penalty for dying. And remember, you also get the following player-owned ports benefits for the rest of December. All ports voyages return an extra 30% trade goods and 25 voyages a day instead of 15.
No. Go back. What did you just say at the very end of Dungeoneering? What was that?
No score penalty for dying.
Oh my god, I'm going to squeal. I'm going to squeal like Reed. I want to squeal like Reed. You know how nice that is that I can actually rush through a dungeon and not worry about the damn idiots that are behind me? I don't have to worry about food. Oh my god, I'm so going to need Red Bull tonight. Oh my god. Red Bull! I'm going to get a nap. Scoot nap.
If you have one of those 95 Dungeoneering cards, I'll come with you.
I think I do, but I don't know where. I think I have one somewhere. Make that three.
Alrighty, so that is the Dungeoneering weekend. I guess I will double down on Sinkholes since we got to get Dungeoneering XP at some point, right?
Uh-huh.
Alrighty, what's next?
Okay, one little reminder is remember to donate a bond to Oxfarm, so unlock the Oxfarm Festive Aura, and you can resell your Festive Aura, and that's about it for that little thing. And let me see, going back, we have the Premier Club versus 12 months of PayPal offer.
Yeah,
so
this is an important distinction to make. The Premier Club is advertised front and center on the Jagex webpage, but if you happen to click the purchase menu up at the top of the website, and then after that, shop, and then after that click membership, there is an option for a 12-month PayPal subscription using this, or 12-month subscription in general, and there's some confusion that, you know, you might purchase this instead of Premier Club. So if you're wanting to purchase Premier Club, what you need to do is you need to go to the front RuneScape page and click the big banner that says Premier Club. Because if you don't, you're purchasing standard membership for 1 year and you do not get the benefits of using Premier Club. And the reason you want to do this is because you get lots of nice little things like loyalty points, an extra treasure hunter key, and any exclusive cosmetic items that will be released in 2015 to subscribers. So keep that in mind.
And also keep in mind, me and Shane did a little bit of theorizing that RS is going to cost roughly $10 a month, maybe like $9.50 or so, a best bet. So in theory, if you go with the Premier Club and you are planning on staying with RS for at least the coming year, you'll actually save a little bit of money with going to Premier Club, unless you're grandfathered in from way back when.
Exactly.
So looking through this really quick, they do suggest they would like you to go through PayPal instead of doing a credit card thing, where PayPal, if you go through PayPal and get Premier Club, you get a samurai outfit and a Kirin pet.
Yeah, and, you know, for anybody who has purchased this, I have had first-hand accounts brought to me this week that if you did purchase the wrong set by accident, all you need to do is contact Jagex customer support, and they will refund you and allow you to purchase Premier Club instead of the 12-month package. And they're very quick and effective with this. So Jagex customer support does know what they're doing and are willing to compensate you if you make this mistake.
You know, I did that once. I was with Guild Wars 2 a couple years ago when it first was it was about to come out. I accidentally bought 2.
Whoops.
I think I was trying. I was bought it once, and then I think I hit the. You know, kind of. I think everyone was trying to buy at the same time, so it's getting really slow. So I don't know what I did, but it timed out, so I hit refresh, and I guess next thing I know, I get 2 emails. You bought. Oops. I didn't want to do that. But luckily for me, I sent them a little customer ticket saying, I accidentally bought 2. Please refund me. Here's blah, blah, blah. And all right, we'll get you back in a week. Done.
Yeah, and I mean, this kind of thing's easy to happen online, just clicking something wrong. So it's really good that Jagex does look after its subscribers when it comes to this sort of thing. So if you are having issues, just contact them nicely and make a ticket, and they will take care of you. Okie dokes.
Okay.
With that being said, we'll just highlight the Solomon store nefarious weapons.
These things are ugly.
Yeah, that's one way of putting it. I mean, I'm not sure what they're trying to look like, but I'm pretty sure
they look like a giant eyeball.
Yeah. I don't know, but I'm sure there's some people out there that like them. Maybe people who are fans of red and purple, or just the fact of you might have a seeing eye on there. So there is nothing wrong with that. But that is this week's offer in the Solomon store, so definitely have a look and see if it jumps out at you. No pun intended.
Okay.
All right, polls with the polling update. You know, we've been of the opinion recently that the polls in the, you know, last half of the year have been kind of lackluster, right?
Okay.
Well, JX has delivered greatly on a set of polls that is available for the last couple weeks of 2014. And here we are. Vampires versus Floor 61. You can either have a vampire quest, man, or a Floor 61 quest. The vampire quest will be the penultimate quest in the Myrex series, whereas the Floor 61 quest will take us to Floor 61, will not require 120 dungeoneering, and will reveal the source of the strange power that happened all those years ago.
Oh, man. This one was hard for me.
Me too.
I bet you
you
chose the vampire one, didn't you?
Actually, no, I didn't. And here's why.
You didn't?
I didn't.
Okay.
I don't feel a great connection to the vampire storyline like I do to other storylines, like the gnomes or the elves, for that example, or even the Majorat. So it's not a storyline that I, you know, jump up and down about. It's just something that's there. Granted, it did give us the blood altar and all that, but it's just okay, in my opinion. It's not that important. Whereas Floor 61, I think Floor 61 is something a lot of people, in terms of dungeoneering, want to know about. And it's something that, you know, was probably one of the biggest mysteries of RuneScape ever, what that whole strange power was way back when that happened, even before dungeoneering was released. And I want to know what the strange power was, so I went with Floor 61.
Okay. I actually went with Vampire, because I was so tempted with 61. I was like, I don't know what the Vampire one. I really want closure. That's what kind of want with this for next year of RS is, I want them to finish things off. Let us go back to the second city and in the desert and let us go back to finish some of the other side quests that we're kind of doing. We haven't finished it off, you know?
But the thing is, this vampire quest is going to be the second last quest in that series, not the last one.
But at least there's one quest left, less to, you know, go through.
Rickles in chat says Team Edward. And that's basically what this could come down to. You know, that's one thing Jagex needs to do, I think, that they haven't done in a vampire quest yet, is throw some kind of Twilight reference in there.
No. No Twilight. Bad.
Why? You're dealing with vampires and you got all these other things. You got Captain Picard in there and, you know, all sorts of other pop culture references. So why not throw like an Edward in the quest or something?
If only Edward I wanted this would be Edward Scissorhands. and have him die. Okay. Where Lord Rickles went, if they're going to put in Team Edward, he should die. What's the other glowy guy?
I have no idea.
Well, someone in chat knows. Who's the other glowy vampire that we're all up in arms about that ended up dating the stupid chick? Yeah, someone knows.
And to be clear, for anybody who is wondering, we are currently just having a bit of a talk with our chat room that listens while we record this. So,
okay.
All right. So, what did you people in chat vote? Floor 61 or vampires?
Floor 61, another one, floor 61, and I guess I'm the only one that. Oh, two for vampires. So let's see.
So vampires is winning here, just as it is in game, if you count yours and my vote into it.
But if you think about it, though, it's relatively close. I mean, 58% to 41%. That's actually pretty decently close.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like a 50-49 like Inventor versus Elf City was at some point. You know, this is 58-41. That's a big gap. You're not going to close that gap with how many votes have already been made.
I'm not saying close it, but, you know, relatively, usually it's like, you know, 60 to 40 or like, you know, it is 64, but it's like 70 to 30 or like 75 to 20, because we get the ones that I don't know, I don't care.
Yeah. And, I mean, at the end of the day, floor 61, I think, is more mysterious and calls for more exploration. So that is why I'm also voting for that one. And there you have it. Anything else on that one?
No. As long as they don't start sparkling, I'm happy.
Okay. Highlight of the year. Alrighty. So there is a huge list of updates on here. I'm only going to talk about ones or mention ones that are greater than 10%. So here we go. Player power pulls, 13%. Fate of the Gods, 12%. Legacy Mode, 16%. The Elf City, 28%. Everything else is under 10%. Treasure Hunter, 9%. Everything else is very tiny. So it's quite clear what people liked of 2014.
Yeah, but, you know, Ninja fixes for me is kind of like they do fix quite a bit of things that are annoying, but they're not. It's more of like, ooh, this helps us out a little bit more, not like, ooh, Elf City, this is so cool.
Ninja fixes were 3%.
Better than most of the zeros.
Yep. And, you know, I'm surprised more people didn't say Plague's End, given that, you know, the Elf City hinged on it. But you're only allowed to have one vote, so I guess that's why. The Elf City was here, because if you do have access to the Elf City, you have done Plague's End. So
yeah, and I think that's why people voted for Elf City. It's like, well, you have to do Plague's End in order to get into Elf City anyway, so that kind of goes hand in hand with that one. So in theory, you won't add the 300 points to it.
Sure. Fate of the Gods also there. Some interesting 0% ones, just to maybe shame some updates that, you know, I think, you know, deserves some more credit. One that's definitely on here that people don't give enough credit is the 24-hour live stream for Game Blast. I think that's one of the very nice things that JAX did this year, and surprising more people aren't voting for this given how much positive effect it had in terms of charity and all the money that was raised. So, I mean, when you put that up against game updates, I can see why, but let's just not forget Game Blast. Mm-hmm. Brassica Prime versus Marimbo, that's a 0%er. Mighty Falls, 0%er. Runefest, Rune Value Improvements, Broken Home, Ninja Fixes, Christmas Cheer, Iron Man Mode, and those are some of the other ones that are relatively low.
Mm-hmm.
So. Alrighty. And with that being said, we will be having our own special year in review RSBMB update coming out on Christmas Eve with a special surprise at the end of that episode, in which we'll talk about this entire thing, our favorite update of the year, our favorite, you know, little promotion, our favorite quest, you name it, our favorite pick. Or no, that's going to be Clip Show, but anyways, you get the idea. We're going to have a year in review RS this year. That's going to be our Christmas Eve show. All right, most anticipated updates of 2015. Go.
Most anticipated of 2015. We have combat updates, community events, game general improvements. So right now, skill updates is winning by 45%, followed closely by game improvements and combat updates at 14%, and quests are at 16%. So skill updates is what almost half the people want, while quests is a distant second.
Yeah, and, you know, I can see why. 2013 and 2014, to degrees, were all focused on combat. When you look at it, like, 2013, okay, that's going to be the tweaking of EOC and whatnot, and adapting to it. 2014 was the fixing of EOC and Legacy Mode, and really the Elf City, that's how you sum up that. So it's no wonder people want skill updates and whatnot. So I assume we'll see some polls about that in the new year as to which way to go.
Mm-hmm.
So. And, of course, 1% Treasure Hunter updates, so on and so forth. Same with the Solomon Store editions. Alrighty. And on the same note as that, we do have a behind-the-scenes video, BTS 131. Some discussion and more info on Vampires or Floor 61, which you can watch the two mods duke it out once again.
Why can't it be Vampires versus Zombies?
I don't think we have a zombie quest line now, do we?
We have plenty of zombies and necromancers. I mean, wouldn't be too hard for Jackson to be like, let's make a zombie supervillain thing.
Yeah, I guess. All right.
I mean, you know, it may finally end the age-old question of who would win, zombies or vampires.
Okay.
I got the Tower of Life. Yeah, true. Very zombie. Hey, and big poll. Who would win, zombies or vampires? Let's vote now. Guys, zombies would win.
Yes, in RS.
Take a look at these zombies have blood in them. Although they're infected blood.
Okay, so in that case, the zombies would win then. Because they just infect the vampires when they decide it's time to take a sip. There you go, the vampires become zombies.
Zombie vampires.
Now that would make an interesting ending to the Twilight series now, wouldn't it?
Jesus? What about Jesus? Okay. All right.
And finally, this week, there was a Q&A, a live Q&A with Mod Mark, where he answered a whole bunch of topics. It went on for an hour and a half. If you're looking for a bit of a rundown, here's some things that were mentioned. In upcoming skill works, energy will be used if they do not go with the inventor skill. In the past, they've looked at a healing and buffing skill in a bard type fashion. There's not going to be a construction rework per se. They may add one or two rooms to the house, but they definitely want to add more to the surface world when it comes to construction. And farming is also neglected. They see farming as a neglected skill, so I'm happy to hear that. And also, there was a question about the Mod Mark twerk emote. He said he's suggested that to the Solomon Store team, but they have no interest at all in making that.
Okay, there we go. All right, should we move on to questions?
Let's do that.
Okay, next one's questions, and the first question is an audio question from Aman.
Da, da, da. da 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 da.
This is RSBNB Update Questions, recorded Saturday, December 20th, 2014, 6:57 a.m. Just for old time's sake. Whoa, not long now, Tricky. Soon you will be gone. But look at this, there's a poll out, and I want to give you a Merry Christmas. Public service announcement, we should be voting for 461 quests in this poll. And why? Because, as long as my information is correct, Sorensen57 recently told me that they actually had scrapped that idea entirely and weren't even going to do it. So, yeah, let's vote for that. Secondly, I just noticed in the text that you do not need 120 Dungeoneering, which I'd never have. So, you know, that's perfect. Now, the Vampire Quest, that is going to happen no matter what one day. Who gives a crap about that? But 461, that just came out of nowhere. Let's get on that. Let's vote for that. And let's give Tricky a Merry Christmas. Ho, 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 indeed. And, okay, possible final question of the year. Has anyone done any bossing recently? Because, damn, Bandos is crazy easy now. I'm probably letting the cat out of the bag, but me and Sorensen went to him. I went off and cooked my dinner and had a coffee, had a shower, came back. You know, we were just killing him in less than 10 seconds. Peace out.
Yes, Merry Christmas to you too, man.
Yeah, I do have to agree with that. Bossing has gotten really easy, it seems, recently, unless you're doing a modern boss or using hard mode on the God Wars creatures, which you should very well do if you want a challenge. I will say that things like the Queen Black Dragon still do require attention, as definitely does the Caliphate King, not Queen, and Araxor. So there are some bosses that require it, and you know, it's really a matter of where you choose to go and what kind of experience you're looking after. So at the end of the day, though, I don't think that's a bad thing, because having the God Wars dungeon accessible with the current level of equipment that exists, that means people around level 80 or so can actually start at the God Wars dungeon and maybe begin bossing with other kinds of boss trips or bossing groups at the end of the day after learning at the God Wars dungeon. So I don't see any issue with it. The drop rates are good. That, you know, if you look at the price of a Ceridomen or Armadale Godsword, they are still holding their value, so it's not as though the economy is being flooded with these things. So I'm not necessarily too concerned about this. And we did go on a bit of a God Wars trip the other day for RSBNB's Christmas event. And we were there for about 2 hours, and the only food I used was once when I got pummeled on, and the other time to clear some inventory space. So it's really not required.
Yeah, don't need that much food now. I really want to do more solo bossing, especially some of the team ones, but oh man, I promised myself last year I would do it, so I guess my New Year's resolution for this year again is to do more boss hunting. So I really want
Indeed.
To do. Yes.
Woo! All right. Thank you, RR Man. And as you mentioned, yeah, I'm voting for Floor 61. That is what I would encourage, of course, everyone to vote for who is listening. Thank you. The next one is from Maramska.
Hello, Shane. Tricky. No, it's just you guys. It's Maramski here. How you doing? Well, I haven't been playing RuneScape much, so that's why I haven't been sending much questions. Well, at least the ones that make it to air. Well, with this being the last show and all, I think Shane will give an exception that, Tricky, it's been a year since you came on the show. what do you have to say to the haters? And on that note, Shane, has anyone in the Informa applied for the co-host position yet? I'm excited to see the new co-host. And Trekkie, you'd be surely missed. Granted, you keep saying my name wrong the past year. Anyways, I'll talk to you next time, Shane, and sometime later, Trekkie. Oh, and Merry Christmas.
That's a nice question, isn't it?
To all the haters out there who hate me, I had a radio show for 2 years, 2-3 years running. You didn't.
Yeah, and I think that's in general something we can say for anyone who does
Mage,
this podcast.
You're an ass.
Yeah, I see some habits do spread around the community, but we won't talk about that in here since it's kind of an objectionable term. Alrighty, anything else you'd like to say to them?
Thank you for listening to me and Shane ramble on for the past 2 years. Thank you for being my fans. Thank you for all the laughs. And thank you for listening to some of the things I had to say to Shane over what we think about RS, how we can improve. And hopefully, Jackass would take some of our considerations in the future.
I wish. But yeah, we will have, you know, a complete special on this in the clip show. And of course, it is tradition for when someone is incoming and outgoing to have them both appear on the first episode of that when that goes on. So we will do that.
Mm-hmm.
In 2015. Now, this is a position that does not have an application. It's something that you need to be picked. It's kind of like being picked to go into the president's cabinet. People do not apply for cabinet positions. They get picked by the president of the United States. And that's the same thing that happens here. That's all I got to say on that.
Okay.
Thank you, Marupska. And I believe you can take this last question.
All right, question is from Brian. Trekkie, what's the one thing you'll miss most about doing the show? One thing I'm going to miss about doing the show. You know what? On a personal note, I'm going to miss listening to Uncle Daniel's golden voice. We'll have that much time to listen to his golden voice since he won't be right next to me. And dealing with Ree when a quest comes on, that's perfectly fine. I had no qualms with that one. One thing I'll miss. I miss bugging Shane the most.
No, it's no big issue, really. There's been worse.
Yes.
Who knew that would come out, eh?
Me. What's another thing? The last thing I guess I would miss the most is
clip shows.
No, actually, on a side note, kind of listening to me and you go through, and then me and Reed kind of start doing the whole F bombs, and we just hear.
Yeah.
All the, like, last time we did the show, and me and Reed had all one go, and
yeah, I swear you did that sometimes to, you know, just be annoying, but anyways.
Barbara Streisand.
I'm sure there will be other things that can be mentioned for this. And as I mentioned, you know, we do still have the clip show at the end of the year, whereas we reflect on what RSBNB update has been. Today we're talking about strictly the updates for this week and on, I won't spoil that now, but listen at the end of the show and we'll reveal our end of year schedule. All right. On to tech news for the last time in 2014. Why Sony Pictures should release The Interview online. So I assume everybody's heard about this by now. Right?
Mm-hmm.
The Interview is a movie in which it is depicted, albeit through a comedic sense, of killing the dictator of North Korea, Kim Jong-un. And basically the whole idea behind it is that two guys get sent there to interview him, but it's actually a CIA assassination mission. And of course, North Korea did not take kindly to this. Thus, they have recently hacked Sony, as we talked about last week. And a new development this week in that Sony Pictures has effectively canceled the release of The Interview because theaters won't show it, and they're not going to release it online or in any other way.
Well, they made a threat, and theaters got all willy-nilly. And I'm just looking at them, and it's like, really? You're going to pull a movie? But, you know, to be honest, though, in a way, you got to look at it as Sony's point of view, is that before this whole little debacle thing came out, barely anybody knew that barely anybody really heard about The Interview, and now everybody knows of it. And so people are going to, when it comes out, they're probably going to go see it. And if they do see it, they're like, oh, we made more money.
Yeah.
And you know, right now, they're kind of, yeah, I think right now they're still kind of debating.
Yeah, because, you know, if they, you know, pulled it and then ultimately caved into it, you know, it could be seen as a publicity stunt. So at the end of the day, it's bad on so many levels. It's bad on the level that it appears as a publicity stunt. It's bad on the level that so much work went into this and now it's seemingly for nothing. It's bad on the level that we're letting some thug in a third world country dictate what goes on in a civilized world's movie theater for entertainment. And it's bad enough that people feel the need to cave into this sort of thing. Because when you look at it, it's North Korea for, you know, like, when was the last time these guys were credible and threatening someone? Like, if it was Russia, I could maybe see the fears behind this, but come on, it's North Korea.
And, you know, the thing about Russia is they're used to always being played as the bad guy anyway. They don't care less.
Yeah,
I mean,
Call
of Duty. How many games have we said kill the Ruskies?
The Russians invaded the U.S. in modern warfare.
They're like, ooh, this is cool. And, you know, in my point of view, I think they'll release The Interview. I think everyone who canceled it are just foolish. And if I was the movie theater start showing, I'd be like, no, I'm not closing it down. They want to, I look at them and be like, hey, they want to go and destroy my movie theater. All right, fly on over. They come through here. I show them my my nails and the bat.
Yeah, and you know the thing is, it's North Korea. Since when was the last time you heard of North Korea engaging in a terrorist attack? And with that, even if something did happen, can you imagine what would come down on this country? Since it would be already known to be state sponsored, do you have any idea how quick that country would fall?
One thing I would like to say is kind of like this. Something, you know how like every time on the internet, as a joke, we always talk about like the computer advancement of North Korea, how their computers are what are basically 1970s or whatnot.
Well, they're not.
And yet, yeah. Just saying that, I was thinking of this the other day. It's like, you know, we always make fun of how crappy their technology is, but yet we always hear how North Korea sponsors or contract out to the black market to hack Sony or Microsoft or whatever. And it's like, you know, even if their technology sucks, they know who to contact to hack people. And so I was wondering this the other day, is like, how advanced or how well are they connected to the black market or whoever in order to do this kind of thing?
Yeah. And I mean, you got to look at this and say,
it's all China. Yeah,
things
pretty
have
much.
Been. No. Well, it could be. That is what happened in the Korean War, right? But anyways, the thing is, there are far more credible and serious threats that come from the Middle East and things go on with this. So it's just, why would this be the case? I don't know. And I mean, if something does happen, it is an excuse to go and invade that country and, you know, reunite the Koreas. which is going to happen sooner or later, either through internal forces or external forces. So,
well, we have to end the war. We have to end the Korean War first.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, there was a story that resulted in General MacArthur being shipped out and losing his command of Asia during the Korean War, because he wanted to use tactical nuclear weapons in North Korea. And, of course, what would have happened if this would have happened? Well, the Korean War would have ended, and maybe China wouldn't have become the huge, dominant, you know, oppressive force that it is. And maybe they would have actually started realizing that, you know, you can't automatically feel as though you're limiting inwards on what exactly you're doing to your people if they would see what was happening in North Korea. So, I don't know, just...
Keep in mind, if we started using nukes so close to Russia, I'm sure Russia would respond back. And remember, they're very close to Russia.
Yeah, and I could say something else here right now that I'm not going to say, because I know that's going to be more controversial than other things that have been said before. And we don't have a show for that this year, but there is something to be said about the idea of a zero-sum game and what exactly the results would be of such a confrontation, and how it would have reverberated to modern day. And that's where I'm going to leave that. Next text story, please.
Next text story. Announcing Reddit notes. Really?
Yeah, that's the same kind of reaction this drew to me as well. So... basically, what Reddit is going to be doing is using some of their fundraising and whatnot. They're giving back to the community and, you know, ways that this can be done. And what they've essentially come up with is the ability to create a Reddit-type currency that people who have been around and active on the website prior to September of this year will be able to participate in. And there will be a chance of you getting one of these Reddit notes, and whether or not you give it back to Reddit or you cash it in is entirely up to you. But currently they're in just the exploratory stages of this. And basically the whole idea is that you will be able to use this and convert it to real money. And the question is, you know, how will we do this legally and whatnot? And, you know, how do we prevent money laundering, that sort of thing. So,
yeah, it's like bitcoins.
Yeah, and you know, when it comes down to it, ultimately, that would probably be their best way to go, is to create a Bitcoin derivative and hand those out as Reddit notes.
I'm not touching bitcoins.
Yeah, I still think bitcoins are relatively new, and you know, it's not something that you should really, you know, convert your savings into, because who knows what's going to happen with them at some point. So just keep that in mind. But and you know, the reason we are talking about this is because it is related to Bitcoin, and ultimately, when it comes down to it, it is a different way of distributing wealth, and the question is whether or not this is going to be successful. So, be interesting to see nonetheless. Alrighty. And finally, another piece of tech news that I like sharing at this time of year is Google's year-end results for search. Trillions of searches this year. A whole bunch of things going on. Highest victory, hoping for the biggest win in World Cup history. The Sochi Olympics. What is a decimal? Touchdowns, knockouts, and trophies. Interesting. So champions, including Formula One. Unsurprisingly, we also got a section on Ebola, which took up a great amount of the discussion in the second half of the year. Where is MH370? You want to make any bet as when we'll actually find that plane? I'm taking your bet.
My bet?
Yeah, when will we find an MH370?
I don't know.
Okay. Conflict and crises, you know, a whole bunch of interesting little things here. So you can click on either of these and explore story and see what the trends say for all of them. And of course, what you can also do is you can view the top in 2014 trend lists. Let's see, top searching trends globally were Robin Williams, World Cup, and Ebola, followed by Malaysian Airlines and the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge. Top people, Jennifer Lawrence, Kim Kardashian, Julie Gayette, Tracy Morgan, and Renee Zellweger. James Rodriguez, Michael Schumacher, Ray Rice, Luis Suarez, and Neymar de Silva Santos for trending athletes. Consumer electronics, unsurprisingly, the iPhone 6 tops the list, followed by the Samsung Galaxy S5, Nexus 6, Moto G, and Samsung Note 4. Global news, Ebola, ISIS, Malaysian Airlines, Crimea and Ukraine, and Ferguson, Missouri. Which makes sense,
oh,
I guess.
Robin Williams.
Yeah, he is definitely the top trending search overall and the top trending search for loss.
Losses. I was like, oh, I heard him. I was like, no.
And he lived around there, too. World Cup matches and YouTube videos are also on here.
Wasn't this also the year where we kind of said that teleportation isn't exactly impossible than what we thought before?
Yep, I think so. Yeah, that's right. They teleported two small atoms.
Yeah, it said it didn't require as much energy as they thought in the first place or something.
Yes. Makes you wonder if we'll have those kind of things in our lifespan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Definitely be interesting. Two to beam up. Right?
Sure. Yeah, sure.
But yeah, definitely check this out. You can set it to whichever country you want, and you can even go back to previous years to have a look as what was going on. So that's can be found at google.com/trends/2014. And they even got a little bit of a video here about it. Trillions of times. What do these searches say about us? We search for hope, Nobel Prizes, more than fear, science, bionic man, more than fiction. We search for things we love, such as movie previews, music videos, TV shows, and for greatness. Sochi Olympics right there. Search to make sense, so on and so forth. So there is a whole group of things that you can look for on the top trends of 2014. To me, of course, the most interesting story of 2014 is probably the disappearance of MH370, as in that's a big mystery.
Well, depending on the rumors, it's either in the bottom of the ocean or somewhere in China's government.
And Rickles says I should narrate the next season of Cosmos. Very interesting. Alrighty. Anything else on trends of 2014? Before we wrap up?
No, only thing is really going to miss Robin Williams. That's about it.
Alrighty. Well, folks, there's your tech news for 2014. Hopefully you've enjoyed it and found our insight into the world of technology useful, and maybe you've learned something along the way.
Also show that Google is still much better than Bing.
Or even Yahoo.
There was a time we used to Yahoo.
Yeah, well, like in the 1990s, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe. All right.
Mm.
Well, it's that time of the show where we talk about the Skill of the Month update. And very surprising, we have what is appearing to be a close finish in the Constitution Skill of the Month. Granted, there are about 12 days left in December, but we do have a lead change. X-Blades is currently in first place with 1.2 million experience gained, overtaking Flash, who has 1.1 million experience gained, and Mage Guy 08, who is just a hair behind with 1.1 million experience as well. So it's really anyone's game in the top three at this point, so I would encourage all competitors to carry on and keep fighting through the Christmas season. It'll be very interesting to see what you guys manage to come up with. And correction, it is not a blowout, and that's what I'm very happy to see. I congratulate everyone who competed in this Skill of the Month, regardless of how boring it might have been, seeing as it is Constitution. That's it for the Skill of the Month update.
All right, and next but not least, we have Achievement of the Week. We only have one this week. We got Tyler, who got 99 fire making on December 17th.
Congratulations. That's always a nice skill to see, and you know, some people say it's useless, but my journey to 99 fire making was great, so if you enjoyed fire making, I'm very happy for you.
I got 99 fire making just from doing player on Forest and Citadel so much.
All right. It's time for pick of the week. What do you got for us?
Yes. Build with Chrome. It's actually a website that's in partnership with Lego where you can build whatever you want in the virtual world.
Okay.
What was that?
I'm playing with it.
Right.
How do you change the color? Oh, yeah, there we go. There we go. Let's get a green brick. Now,
right,
how do you rotate
the color? I can't remember. I think you do arrow keys or something.
Spacebar.
Yeah. So anyway.
Okay, continue. I'm sorry.
Anyway, this is just a little site where you can go and, as it sounds, play, mess around with Lego blocks, build with them, and do whatever you want with them, and in a 3D world, and share it and share around the world. You can log in with Google Plus, which doesn't exist, and Facebook. And if you actually look around, you can see what other people have built around the world.
Wow.
You guys trying it too?
So. Now, is there any way to, like, create a plan for this so you can bring it into real-world Lego or no?
I don't know. Quite honestly, I'm really surprised. I think this is a good money opportunity, but I'm honestly surprised we hadn't had somebody actually do, like, a 3D rendering of building Legos where people can break it apart and go inside the middle of it, find out where each piece go, kind of like... When you're building that Superstar Destroyer, you're like, where does this thing go to? You have absolutely no idea whatsoever.
Hey, this was made in Gatineau, Quebec.
Oh, okay, there you go.
$10.99 Chemin de la Montagne, Gatineau, Quebec.
So the Frenchies actually did something?
Yeah.
Mm.
So, but yeah. One question. Where are the people? Like, you know, you can have Lego people and whatnot.
I think they're in there. I don't think anybody made them unless I think it's more for buildings. My little thing is I think it could be good if they can have a way of categorizing all the pieces in the Lego that someone may have or in a box that they bought and let them break it apart and then just put it however they want, use it as a blueprint.
Yeah.
That's my... Because what happened was the reason I kind of brought this up is usually... Around this time, everybody's buying toys for kids, and you know, when it comes to toys, Lego, someone always gets Legos for their kids because Lego is just one of those things that everyone just gets. And you know, it's one of those things where you can have your whole family can kind of go around and play around and make and everything else. And the other good thing is that with this, I was watching, there was a little YouTube video where some bunch of people used like 500,000 Lego bricks to build a little Christmas theme park kind of thing, which is very neat.
And the best part about this is that if you step on the Lego brick, it doesn't hurt your feet.
No, remember, you step on one Lego brick and you will cry for eternity. You step on a nice matchup, on a nice, you know, chunk, it doesn't hurt as much. However, if someone decides to pick you up and slam you on a bunch of Legos on the ground, you will be, I don't care how tough you what kind of tough wrestler you are, you're going to cry for mama.
Alrighty, with that being said, great pick of the week. It's time to wrap this up. So I'll ask you, what have you been up to this week?
Where everything kind of getting run down for end of the year. Work has been relatively very busy. Everyone wants to get it done before the new year. Don't want to put it or making plans for the new year. RS-wise, did some ports and I...
Ooh, you can rotate it. You can rotate this. You can rotate it in 3D. I'm sorry, continue.
You're so ashamed to have a little too much fun. But I'm in the process of installing, building my computer, my new computer. It's almost done. I just need to do some minor tinkering with it, and I'm hoping within a week or two, it will be fabulous, and I can have a lot more fun with it.
Alrighty. Sounds good to me. Anything else?
Anything else? Thank you for listening to me for the past couple of years, and have fun with Legos. I'll see you in the game.
Alrighty, and with that being said, for me this week, I finally completed my Superior Sea Singer set, so I got all three of those, so I'm just good to, you know, stockpile on resources until the next ports expansion comes out. I'm well into the final area, so I just got to upgrade crew, do massive layoffs, and upgrade the boats, and we'll be good to go.
Woo!
Aside from that, some farming, some money making, and getting ready for all the good stuff that's coming to you guys, which I'll just go over a bit of a rundown right now, if that's okay. So this is the last show of 2014 where we answer questions, do tech news, talk about RS updates, that sort of thing. We do have two end of year shows coming to you. These will be released on the 24th of December and New Year's Eve on the 31st. The 24th of December will be our year in review, RuneScape style, where we talk about, you know, our favorite quests, our favorite updates, maybe even favorite Solomons or Treasure Hunter thing if we want. Pretty much everything RS related, roundup wise, will get talked about in that episode that releases on Christmas Eve. And as mentioned, there will be a little surprise at the end of that episode that nobody really knows about at this point except for us two. So I'll keep you all in the dark about that, but it'll be a good one, I can guarantee. We also, of course, have the year-end clip show that comes out on the 31st, where we'll talk about everything that we did this year on RSBNB update, the funny moments, the bloopers, the pre-show stuff that didn't make it in, our picks of the year. I thought I had a pick of the year, but I might need to reevaluate that now, thanks to this.
See, I had a good pick right out of the year, didn't I?
Yep. And so that'll come out on New Year's Eve, and that is always a fun show to record. And that means that we will be back on the 9th of January for episode that is $4.99, I believe.
Cool.
So with that being said, we'll see you on Christmas Eve for the year in review of RS. Take care.
Bye-bye. Everyone.